Our passage today is taken from Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. If you all would, with me, if you're able, to stand as we read it, I'm going to read out loud. It's Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refuse to listen. I have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. You may be seated. Pray with me one last time. Heavenly Father, your word is holy. May I not speak anything contrary to your word, and may I not withhold anything from your word. May your spirit apply to the hearts and minds of your people here, including mine. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I imagine some of you have seen the movie Lord of the Rings, and there are, throughout the movies, there's three, it's a trilogy, there is the one ring to rule them all, full of power and strength, right? And the ring is an allegory, obviously. All the stories are an allegory that draw you in quite intensively, for that matter. Very beautiful films in many regards. And the ring, the one powerful ring, represents in many regards the draw of sin and the world and the devil. All right? And in a very simple way, throughout that storyline, various people are drawn in different ways. There's the worst, really, one of the worst. There are various characters are drawn. There's the one, Gollum. He's obviously known as Smeagol in the beginning. A very humble hobbit, right? But then he feels the draw of the ring when his cousin, who he is fishing with in the pond, who found it. He says, give it to me, it's my birthday. And then Smeagol, in an evil fashion, feels the draw and grabs a ring and kills Smeagol. And the hobbits in his town shun him, and he becomes totally transformed by the evil and the inward pull of the evil from the ring. Makes him live ages and ages, the way the allegory goes in the story, over 500 years, right? And he becomes, from a nice hobbit, to a gross, grotesque creature. Call him Gollum after the guttural sounds that he makes and walks on all fours like an animal. But then also there's those like Bilbo. He just happens to pick it up. He's obviously drawn to it, his power, and he just happens upon it when he sees it and he's running from enemies of his. And he's drawn to the fun of it, the delight, even the fact that it causes you to disappear Right? All of these are very deep allegories. You could look into them, and I might butcher some of the meaning, but nonetheless, it's a good illustration, right? The reality is, in this passage, it draws us to wisdom. The draw of this world is the draw of the worldly wisdom, the draw of the ring, I guess you could say, of its power, of its wonder and its lies. Obviously, the ring in the Lord of the Rings draws you to evil, but it looks like it's going to give you the world. But of course, it does not. So the question is, obviously, we have this passage calling us to wisdom, right? But where is wisdom found? Where is the true wisdom, not this worldly wisdom? Where is it? Some people look for it, right? In religion. They look for it as if there is a true religion, mind you, but they look for it in the structures, in following the rules, in following the guidance and good behavior for yourself and to get to God, right? Or for that matter, you could choose one of the thousands of self-help books, improve your life, maybe even make your health everything and anything for you so that you will be the best you can be. Is there wisdom in it? Maybe. Or maybe in the study of the universe you may find wisdom, right? The world is so immense and great, right? I was looking up, and my children love to look up information about the stars, and there is over estimated 200 billion trillion stars. That's 23 zeros. That's estimates. That could be even more, right? From the telescopes and the great technological advances we have. May you find it there. There's great wisdom and order in the universe there. Is it found in yourself, in the depths of yourself? Is it found there? Well, obviously, our passage calls us to wisdom, and Job himself answers it before even this from Solomon. In the chapter 28 of Job, we find that throughout the world, throughout creation, Job is saying, where is wisdom? Is it in the sky? Is it in Sheol? No. In the conclusion in chapter 28, he says this. He says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. So really, we find ourselves here at this passage at the same point with Job. The call of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's where wisdom is found. And it calls us. Just before this opening, before we dig into the first section, right? Solomon, the sage who wrote this, he says in the first few verses, all the meanings and all the purposes for the Proverbs. And he ends with this conclusion in verse 6 and 7. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Job was way before Solomon, and he recognized it as well. Wisdom is seen in this world, right? But above all, it's found in his word, as Job says. And when we come to our passage right here, wisdom is crying. It's a personification. It really helps us. It draws us in. As allegories draw us in, so this draws us in. And it's Lady Wisdom. Proverbs begins with Lady Wisdom and ends with the Proverbs 31 woman. Obviously, it's a good encapsulation of the whole book where wisdom is personified. And for children, young and old, it helps us to call out to wisdom, to listen to instructions of parents. And who is the audience likely of this as well? The audience? The audience is the people of God, right? Likely, the people were supposed to have the word of God everywhere for the sacrificial system. They're supposed to write it on the tablet of their hearts, right? And write it wherever they were, in their houses, in their homes, speak about it when you lie down and when you get up, and so on and so forth. So the wisdom is everywhere. People of God, that's the primary audience, and that's likely where it's calling out. So let's look into this imagery. Let's look into this first, the pleading of wisdom. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. If you notice, each one of these, right, is a place in a city. Ancient cities, like Israelites would have noticed. If it gets from less populated to more populated, the streets, then the markets, there's more people, and then the noisy streets, she cries out. And then the entrance, where you would likely see everything, all sorts of sellings and wares and whatnot from the people, from the Israelites and so on and so forth, or all the cities, for that matter, in the Mesopotamian area, where you would get whatever you need, and all the people would be, let's say, like the auditorium or the great Colosseum or something like that, or the great superdomes where everybody would hear you. That's the entrance of the city, the gates, she speaks out, crying, "Please listen to me." So what is she crying? "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge?" First of all, there's three things: the simple, the scoffers, or sometimes in other passages, other translations, scorners, and knowledge. Who are these simple ones? One who chooses to lack knowledge. Obviously, this is also going in degrees. Simple goes from worse to the worst, or it goes from bad to worse, right? Simple ones, one who chooses to lack knowledge. Lazy to know what is right, doesn't bother to look into it. You could, if they are a true believer, right, and struggling, you could call them lukewarm. They're simple. They don't really know much scripture. They know enough to get by. Or they might not even be believers at all, right? They don't know. They're just simple. They live by the passions. Not all passions are evil. There's a passion for hunger, for sensuality, for relationship, right? For knowledge, and so on and so forth. But they just live by these passions, whatever cultural norms are set for them. They're simple. They're scorners. These are people who mock, right? All of us at one point in our life has mocked at what is right. Or we've sat back and watched what is right be mocked. We haven't spoken up because we're scared to be, look, I guess you could say, like the goody two-shoe, or scared to look righteous, because that's the pull of the world, the pull towards what is dark, right? Then the fool, the outright fool, one who participates in evil, right, despises wisdom instruction, which it says in chapter 2 and chapter 1. This just outright despises it. This segment here, the pleading of wisdom, brings us to wisdoms of the New Testament, right? And various things where we all have gone. If you can look at it if you like, but it calls us to this, Romans 1, right? "For although they knew God," this is everyone, this is speaking to the whole world, "the wrath of God is revealed to all men." Verse 21 in that chapter 1 of Romans, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." The reality is, we all don't follow the true wisdom at one point or another. But we must ask ourselves still, what is this wisdom? Where is it? It's in God's word, as we've revealed. But where is it? We'll keep going and digging further. First of all, we can see from this first beginning that wisdom is simply doing what is right. A lot of people think of wisdom as the great knowledge of intellectual this or that, and all those many wonderful things you can do, right? Knowledge of business, knowledge of this, and great success in all this knowledge. But first we can see it's doing what is right. And then it brings us to this other passage, right, in Philippians. Therefore, my beloved, this is Paul speaking, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Who is it writing here likely? This is King Solomon. Did he follow the wisdom that he spoke about? Was he rich and wealthy and great? No, he did not. He was drawn to the one power of using the goods of this world. He was drawn by the devil and lies that offered the world right to him. He neglected the wisdom he had at first. But nonetheless, this is wisdom of God given to us. Right? He exchanged the wisdom of the immortal God for images resembling man, birds, animals, and creeping things. But let's not be deceived. We do this today too. We just don't necessarily bow down to them. We do everything but that. Sometimes we call ourselves fans of this or that, but in every way you're a fanatic and you worship it, whatever it may be. And don't get me wrong, I'm there with all of you. We follow the wisdom of this world that draws us in. The power is almost impossible, and for that matter, for those of us who are still stuck in our sin, it is impossible. God can change your heart alone, and now is the call of wisdom for you, and no longer be a fool. And that brings us to our next point, the judgments of wisdom, which get a little harder, a little harsher. All right? Look with me, if you would, verse 23. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Now, this is a story. I hope it doesn't distract too much from it, but it'll help you, I hope. When I was younger, I had a lot of chores on the farm to do and accomplish. Maybe I should have more at times, but I think I accomplished them pretty well. You can ask my dad if you'd like. Well, anyway, there were chores also in the home. I didn't have as many as I would have probably maybe should have had, but I was supposed to have some chores in the home. And one particular chore stuck out really well, not always to me, and that was taking out the trash. All right? Well, one time I walked in the house, and there was the trash can overflowing, and crud was falling out of it. I ignored it. I walked right by, and I walked right into the living room and the bath, and then into the bathroom. And then I heard, after I was done going to the bathroom, I heard, "Jacob!" And I knew it was my mom. She was very mad at me. And she can maybe tell you the other half of that story. She's here too. But anyway, she looked at me and she goes, "I don't give you many chores to do in this house, but I give you one and you don't even do it. And you were supposed to take out the trash that is overflowing. Do it now." Now I was obviously scared and I went and took it out. But my mother was telling me to do a chore and she had told me many times, and obviously, I went and did it because I was scared, okay? I generally obey out of fear. That's not necessarily right, but that is what I've done as a personality, okay? All types of things that happen with motivations. Anyway, but nonetheless, when she scolded me, she gave the reasons why I should have done it because she gave out all the reasons. Wisdom has already said, you know, given all the people, right? Now, wisdom is scolding us right here. The judgments, giving the judgments, right? Fortunately, the judgment I had to do is do it right then and there. I couldn't do it at my own discretion anymore. I had to do it right then and there, all right? But wisdom, once it comes to you, it makes the judgments. And usually it starts out with, if you'd only listen, you would have had all the benefits, right? I would have had compliments from my mother. And benefits, right? But I didn't. I had her scolding, rightfully so. All right? So if you look, if you turn at my reproof, we are called to turn. We are responsible to turn from our sin. However, if you look a little further, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. These are the benefits. It's a gift. The Spirit of God will give. Now, obviously, it's personified the Lady Wisdom speaking, right? but it's personified. And we obviously can see it speaking about the Spirit of God, who will pour out His Spirit, who has poured out His Spirit on those of us who believe, and give His presence so that we obey. It hearkened to that eventual realization in the new kingdom, which we are in now. I will make my words known to you. However, let's go a little further. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. Now, if you look at these word images, they're great. I have called and refused to listen. Imagine you go into the great marketplace somewhere in the city and you put all the screens say one thing and yet you didn't even see it. You go to Times Square, New York City, and all of it says, obey Jesus, right? What if it said that? But no one did it. That's basically the equivalent of what's being happened here. I called out and you refused. I was everywhere. You didn't listen to my call. I have stretched out my hand. Think of someone climbing up a mountain, right? I stretch out my hand. No, I don't want it. And you just fall back. Why would you do such a thing? Why would anybody do such a thing? If someone's there to help you at the top of the mountain, right? Because you have ignored my counsel and would have none of my reproof. This is the hard part. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm. Now, this is obviously a mirror image of I will pour out my spirit. Now, the spirit of the storm, you get the opposite. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. It'll happen suddenly. For our world, it desperately needs wisdom in everything. Desperately needs it. The darker it goes, the desperate the need. More desperate the need, right? And for every individual life, the darker you go, the more desperate the need for wisdom is. And for those of us who are called out of this present dark age, right, there is great need because it is also in great upheaval. As Jesus said, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, right? You will have trouble, but you will have trouble from your own sin. For you may know the way, whatever it may be, honesty. Let's just start with honesty. We can look at politicians and criticize them honest about their honesty all the time. But then what about your own honesty? What about your own honesty before God with your money? What about it with your relationships? What about when you're alone? Let's start with honesty. Does it reflect wisdom? Right? But if you don't and you start to build your life on dishonesty, it'll come suddenly. And then you will beg. Let's say you are a believer and you are backslidden. Like David, you beg for not the results and the judgments that wisdom may bring. But it's too late then. You will face the consequences of what you've done. So wisdom's call out to children, to adults, to all of us here. Now is the day. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But be of good cheer. God will and work it in your life for His good pleasure. All right? And that brings us to our very last point. The judgments of wisdom. No, not the judgment, sorry. The conclusions of wisdom. Verse 29. When I was one time not following wisdom on the road, I got a speeding ticket. There are many reasons why I got this speeding ticket. I was driving a commercial vehicle, a minivan, mind you. I was driving it for J.B. Hunt, and I was driving on a road that I thought was a 65-mile-an-hour limit. Now, ignorance of the law doesn't mean you're not guilty of the law, okay? And I was driving along, and I even asked my partner, I said, hey, what's the speed limit around here? And he goes, I think it's 65. And then he fell back asleep. I'm like, oh, okay. So then this isn't what I should have done, but I started going 70, okay? So I knew I was doing wrong, okay? I didn't think I was doing too bad of wrong, but I knew I was doing wrong. And all of a sudden, you know, the lights come on. Well, he came and he goes, "What are you doing?" And I said to him, I said, I'm driving for J.B. Hunt. He goes, "Why are you driving a commercial vehicle here?" I said, "This is a minivan." He goes, "It says U-Haul and it says commercial vehicle right on the side." I said, "Oh, well, I didn't know," because I really didn't, actually. I actually thought that kind of commercial vehicle was not the problem, but it's all commercial vehicles. And it was the Taconic State Parkway. Well, he says to me, "You know, I caught you," and then, I did not know this either, but the thing wasn't inspected properly either. That I found out right away, too. All right, but nonetheless, so he goes to me, he goes, "You know, hang on." He goes about and he comes right back really fast. He goes, "I have three problems from you. You were speeding, your inspection is overdue by a month, and you're driving a commercial vehicle on Taconic State Parkway." He goes, "I'm going to let you go with a warning, but you're also going to get a ticket too." He goes, "I could stop you right here for reckless endangerment." Oh, and he goes, "What did you think the speed limit was?" And I said, 65. He goes, "It's 55. And then he starts listing all where the rules were. And I'm like, "Oh boy." Now that I will debate. I don't think it was actually there. And it was covered with vines. I didn't see the speed signs. But that's all besides the point. So I finally come to the judge when I have to pay for the speeding ticket. And the judge comes to me and he says, "Do you see what you have done?" And he gives all these judgments. And then he gives his final conclusions. And his final conclusions were actually fairly nice. He brought it down from 200 to 100, and obviously there was still surcharge, so it came to 175. The other guy went before me, had the same exact ticket, and he didn't plead for any mercy, and he had to pay twice the amount. But I did, so his judgments were good. But the final judgments of wisdom here are very harsh. So let's look at them. And they call us to really pay attention. Verse 29. "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their ways." Now this is a scary thing. It's like Romans, where God lets you have what you want. You want to live with all sorts of riches? You want to be dishonest? You want your goals in life? And you want those, and you want those more than God? You want your family and you want your health really great? And you want them more than what God wants them for? He'll let you have what you want. But then the consequences, you will reap it. There's the ultimate consequences, right? Where you may not know God, and you'll have eternal suffering away from him. That's the ultimate consequences. But then for those of us who may be backslidden, maybe are in a sin that they don't want to admit to, and don't want to make right with a brother. Now is the day so you don't fall back into the lure of sin, the devil, and the world, which will make you like Gollum eventually, right? Or make you so focused on yourself that you are destroyed. You will reap the destruction of it. "Therefore they shall eat fruit, for the simple are killed by their turning away. And the complacency of fools destroy them." There are so many wants and good things in our country. It's very wealthy and rich. But that's why these words are so needed for us. Right? So we're not complacent with all the good things we have. We're not lack of thankfulness before God with all the good things we have. Don't get me wrong. There's great suffering still, even if we're here. And it's great difficulty. And often our wisdom of following in our time and era doesn't look like the wisdom of this world. It may look weak. It may look like it's not really accomplishing anything. Your prayers might seem like they're little to nothing, but they're not. God chooses the weak things of the world to shame the wise, quote unquote wise. But what is this wisdom and this peace? It ends with it, right? "For whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. I said at the beginning that wisdom is doing what is right. But it's more than that, right? It's way more than that. It's knowing and obeying God through Jesus Christ, right? Colossians, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ, right? Colossians 2, 1 and 3. Colossians 1, 14 through 15, it talks about Christ as the image of the invisible God. So how can this wisdom be garnered? For those of us who believe and have the new Adam and the power now to choose wisdom, look with me, if you would, in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. If you seek it like treasure and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. There is the path, brothers and sisters. So in conclusion, it's in Christ. So look to Christ. Remember, he, on our behalf, became sin for us so we may become the righteousness of God. He grew in wisdom and stature. He was tempted by the devil, felt the draw of the world. The world by the devil was given to him, supposedly, on a mount, but he refused it. And in the end, what did we do? We mocked him, right? But he still obeyed. We all abandoned him. We all put him on the cross. What does it say in Romans chapter 3? That we all have gone astray. We have become worthless. We all have disobeyed and denied the glory due God. But on the cross, what kept him there? But love, the greatest wisdom the world has ever seen. So where do we go from here now with this passage, brothers and sisters? Take three things from it, if you will, if not more. Watch for all the facets of sin, the world, and the devil in our lives. All the lies, watch for them. If you're having simplicity, add to it knowledge from the word. If you scoff at what is right, repent, be humble now, and listen. Time to listen. Start searching. For children, listen to your parents. For all of us adults, listen to the word. Listen to the authorities. Obey. Not because it's necessarily authorities always right, but we're always to obey God. And authorities are there by him. Foolishness. If you're struggling with foolishness and outright rebellion and you don't even know God right now, now is the day. If wisdom is knocking at your door, open, and it will be opened unto you. The Spirit of God will come upon you and give you faith. And then second, obey the call of wisdom and listen to Christ. Take time in his word. They're simple things. Take time to listen from other believers who expound well on his word. If you need good sources, you could come to me. You could come to any of the elders. We would love to hear you delighting to hear and read God's word. And then lastly, for all of us who have received the wisdom from on high, spread this wisdom of Christ as it pleaded for us with graciousness. Let us plead to the world to hear the wisdom from on high. Though it may look weak and though it may not look strong, it is the greatest on earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would grant us hearts of wisdom and love for you. Thank you for your love and wisdom that held you on the cross. Though you could have walked off in great glory, you did not, because you love us so, and you are bringing the world to yourself. May we reflect this glory to one another and to the outside world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.